Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher. This podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. Now, obviously, we don't know you or your unique position, so this is not financial or investment advice. It is information of a general nature, and you should always seek professional advice as to your situation before you ever invest in anything. But if you want to play a bigger game in property and want to use property as your vehicle to create wealth and, more importantly, freedom, then you're in the right place. Let's do this. Let's get started. In this episode, we're going to talk about something that you may not have heard of before, but that will be really useful to you in this down market. When I say a down market, a market where it's harder for buyers to qualify for loans because their serviceability is less. The cost of living is so high, interest rates are going up, so banks are assessing you at a much higher rate, and it's just more difficult to qualify. And if you're a seller in this market, it's challenging to get the price that you want. So in an upmarket, a rising property market or a bubble, everyone's a hero. Everyone can hold on if they're a seller and demand the highest possible price usually. And as a buyer, when credit is flowing freely, like it has been for the last few years, everyone can get a loan. So it's not until markets start to turn that people have to look at other strategies. And one really old strategy in Australian law, and I mean really old, been around for over a century, is the concept of owner or seller finance. You may also have heard of it called vendor finance. It's big in America, but it's also been practiced throughout history in Australia. So seller finance is advantageous to a seller because they can demand a higher price. So let's have an example. Let's say that my property is worth $600,000 and I'm selling it, but the highest offer I can get is $530,000, so $70,000 below what I want and what it's worth, given that the agents have appraised it and that's what we were talking about. So there's $70,000 shortfall there, and the best buyer I can get can only come up with $530,000. So what I might do is I might still have $600,000 on the purchase price in the contract, and they can still borrow the $530,000 that they were going to borrow from the bank. But instead, I will have a second mortgage or a caveat on the title for the balance of the purchase price. In this case, it's $70,000. And I can charge interest on that at a rate we agree, or I can defer the interest, or I can let it sit for 5 years and they can refinance when it's gone up in value. There's a whole lot of options available. So we can be very flexible to accommodate buyers who may not qualify for the higher loan in a tighter market. By the same token, if I'm a buyer, then seller finance works well if I can't get my deposit together. So maybe I needed 20% or 25% after stamp duty and everything, and I just can't save up that much, but maybe I've got a 10% deposit. I might qualify for a higher loan-to-value ratio. In other words, I might be able to borrow 90% of the purchase price, but I have to pay for lender's mortgage insurance. Anything over 80% of the purchase price, if you don't have your own skin in the game to the tune of 20%, mainstream lenders will want you to have mortgage insurance, and that costs a lot of money. So seller finance can also help me because the seller can accept my 10% deposit and they can lend me or put in or forego the higher amount, and I can pay that later when capital growth kicks in, or once I've chipped away and paid down a lot of the debt and got some equity in the property. So it's a very flexible way to work. It also works with properties that have difficulties. So one of our students recently had a client that had a property that the bank wouldn't lend against. against because it had power lines and it had issues. And what she did was she still took the offer on the table and allowed vendor finance for the difference. And that worked as a win-win because she thought if this buyer has problems with their bank, there'll be problems with other banks and lenders. Now, this is something that developers do off the plan. Meriton Apartments readily offers finance for the whole thing. So they will fund you into the deal. And in terms of history, vendor finance or seller finance used to be the only way. So when Australia was first growing as a nation, like in the late 1800s, there was so much land and there wasn't that much demand. Banks didn't want to lend on land that didn't have a property on it. And then later on, there was the banks collapsed in the late 1800s before we set things up and got a reserve bank. We had the Commonwealth Bank, which was set up and guaranteed by the government in the event of another run on the banks or a banking collapse that we saw in the late 1800s. But it had very strict lending criteria. So often when people wanted to buy or banks were lending, especially in the Great Depression, what they did was to get around the stricter loans. They offered seller finance. A lot of developers did that at the time, or installment contracts. So there are lots of ways these sorts of loans can be structured. If you're doing it full time, like if you've got a business trading, buying and selling properties, then you may need a credit license, an ASIC license to be able to do that. If it's just your property that you're selling and it's not part of a business or an enterprise, it's just something you're doing as an investment to weather the storm of a tougher property market and more stringent lending criteria, then it's something that is a commercial decision between you and the seller, I'd expect. It's case by case, situation by situation, but some ways to structure the deal are what they call a lease option, or you may have heard of that as a rent to own. It's good for buyers who can't get a loan and buy a property, but they're sick of renting and they've got a small deposit and they can try it out. So part of their monthly or weekly rent goes to paying down a mortgage and part goes for rent, a bit like principal and interest on a loan. And then they've got an option for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, whatever you agree on, and they can then exercise the option and actually buy the property. It's good for the seller as well because there can be terms in the contract sometimes that will provide that somebody else, the buyer, pays the council rates and they pay all the outgoings on the property, strata levies, land tax, that sort of thing. So there's a lot that can be done in these situations. An installment contract is when you pay a regular amount and you pay it down over time. Another solution is deposit finance, where there's no deposit or not enough deposit, and the vendor or the seller contributes that amount and registers a second mortgage or a caveat on the title for their security. So as you would know, this is not something that we would normally hear about or care about. In a really hot market, a seller will just say, no thanks, I'm not interested in those sort of out-of-the-box solutions. Just give me a normal contract and pay your price. In a market that's more difficult and buyers are few and far between, a seller's more motivated to structure a deal for a win-win, which can help people into the market. And from a buyer's point of view, when there's less competition, sellers are more negotiable and you can structure a deal to get yourself into the market or to get your next property. So wherever others may see an obstacle, there just may be a path or a way. Often in the obstacles, there is an opportunity and a solution. If you want to know more about seller finance, click on the link below or look at the link in the description section for more information about this fantastic strategy that could be a solution for you depending on your situation in the current property market. If you're enjoying this podcast, we want to invite you to join the Property Lovers Facebook group. To find the group in Facebook, just search for Property Lovers. You'll see the group banner, which has the word Property Lovers Hub on it. It's a community for property lovers in Australia. And just like this podcast, it's been created to give you a competitive advantage so you can get superior results in property. Please come and join us today. And for any other information and all your property needs, please visit our website, dginstitute.com.au, because we've got a lot of other giveaways that can support you on your property journey. Things like negotiation, mental toughness. We've got a lot of mini courses there that can get you in the right space to hit the ground running when it comes to property acquisitions. That's it for today, but really looking forward to giving you more tools, more strategies, more support, and a competitive advantage when it comes to property in our next episode.